This is Fresh Air. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and writer Sarah Heppala is probably not alone in having a complicated relationship with that holiday. Here's how she explains it.
I've never been a fan of Valentine's Day. Even when I was in a relationship, Valentine's Day was an invitation to feel embarrassed by the pressures of consumer culture, or let down because someone who professed to care about me had not managed to read my mind. I didn't want the cliched gifts of chocolates or flowers, but I also didn't want to tell you what to get, because that would spoil the surprise. I've spent a lot of Valentine's days disappointed. Maybe the only people really happy on Valentine's Day are couples completely infatuated with each other, and since that's already a gift, I'm not sure why they need their own holiday. That's like a charity for rich people, or setting aside a day so we can all pay more attention to celebrities. You know who needs chocolate? Sad people. You know who deserves gifts? Lonely people. The ones who eat frozen dinners in their bed each night and have their longest conversations with their pets and are way too knowledgeable about the documentaries on Netflix. I've spent most of my adulthood single, and on bad days, I can fall prey to the magical thinking that finding someone would relieve me of the low rattle of unhappiness I've carried around much of my life. But I have to remind myself that relationship status isn't any kind of miracle cure. I've met plenty of lonely people who are married, and they can't even think to themselves, maybe when I find someone, I'll be happier. They did, and it didn't work. The truth is, the majority of our life is not spent with weak knees and butterflies, because no one would get anything done. One of my favorite authors is the French philosopher Alain de Botton. In his novel, The Course of Love, he writes about our shallow understanding of real-life intimacy. What we typically call love is only the start of love, he says. And one of the cruelest games we play on young couples is suggesting this transitory state is supposed to last. I wish more writers told us about this kind of love, the long-term kind, the one forged by compromise, patience, and accepting other people as they are, not as we wish them to be. Back in ancient times, people would never have married for love. They considered it too unstable. They married for money. They married for land. They married because her family had 45 goats and 30 sheep. And that may sound insane to us now, but it might be a little more reliable than I just had this feeling. If I do get married, I hope it's for love, not just because I don't have any goats, but because I think a companionship based on respect and deep affection is a noble goal. At the same time, I know many of my previous relationships were corrupted by my own unrealistic expectations, forged by the soft fictions of pop songs and rom-coms and so-called love stories that only show you the beginning. Valentine's Day was another opportunity to hold my relationship up against those idealistic images and see how I was failing. And my focus on romantic love and all it was supposed to deliver has kept me from missing all the other kinds of love I have in my life. My life is rich with love, even if it's not the kind I expected. The walks with friends, the long conversations on the phone or on a living room couch, a family that is so predictably available I forget to count them, a person who emails me out of the blue to admit they're struggling and sad, and I tell them I get it, and we both leave that small exchange a little lighter. There's this great line from The Lonely City by Olivia Lang. She writes, "Loneliness, longing, does not mean one has failed, but simply that one is living. I think of that on days when I feel like what I have isn't enough. And if you are feeling blue on this holiday, I can tell you there are many people right there with you. And we have a lot of documentaries on Netflix to recommend."
Sarah Heppala is the author of the new memoir, Blackout, Remembering the Things I Drank to Forget. She lives in Dallas. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, my guest will be Raoul Peck, the director of the new documentary about James Baldwin called I Am Not Your Negro. It has great clips of Baldwin speaking, like this one.
If any white man in the world says, give me liberty or give me death, the entire white world applauds. When a black man says exactly the same thing, he is judged a criminal and treated like one.
We'll also hear an excerpt of the interview I recorded with James Baldwin in 1986, the year before he died. I hope you'll join us. My thanks to Dave Davies for hosting last week while I took the week off. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Our associate producer for online media is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Shorrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross. Thank you.